Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah. Well, it's not shenanigans, it's the Vince Coakley program, but as a true boomer, I couldn't resist going back circa 1965, Sunday afternoons, as I recall, ABC TV, Stubby K, the Quizmaster. Saturday mornings. Saturday morning, I thought maybe sometimes they were tape delayed or something. Anyway, shenanigans. One of the great kids game shows of all time. It lasted a year. Merrill Hader and Bob Quigley, the guys who did the first Hollywood Squares. And maybe we could find some Paul Lynn Zingers. They got that on YouTube, too. Anyway, it's Friday. And because it's Friday, yes, there are serious issues to talk about. There are issues that you just kind of go, gee, I haven't thought about it that way. And then there are just kind of fun things. And it's Open Phones Friday, so anything and everything, as long as it fits in the bounds of propriety. We do judge that, but we're pretty lenient these days. Although I do think we have the magic of delay if we need it. Anyway, don't delay to pick up the phone and call. 1-800-928-1110, toll-free from any place. Or for Charlotte and vicinity, it's 704-570-1110. Now, last hour, Ken Boone of the Weather Channel joined us to talk about something that we take far too casually, and that's severe thunderstorms. Now, Ken had some good news. The Charlotte Observer had an article about, man, these microbursts could very well appear on the I-77 corridor. Ken amended that forecast, but understand it's a forecast. It's predictive. He thinks they may head eastward, or as we say in North Carolina, down east to the north and the east, to places like Raleigh, or as a certain radio station used to say back in the day, Raleigh. And the legislature down there, of course, the General Assembly. And the state in which Raleigh exists, North Carolina, not to be confused with South Carolina. That was how real radio announcers from the Dime Store School of Radio Announcing learned how to say the Carolinas. In fact, it went so far. One of my pals, the person who helped straighten up his house, the lady's name was Caroline, and to sound like a radio, oh, Cabeline, serious story. Anyway, so it's that kind of Friday, because, by the way, if you haven't detected it yet, this isn't Vince Coakley. It's the recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth, so pleased to be back in the Carolinas, behind the mic on WBT and WORD. We were talking about the serious business of microbursts. And we have now first-person eyewitness account of what that is like. From Charlotte, we welcome Jim to Open Phones Friday. Hi, Jim, and what did you experience? Hello, Jim. You know what I think happens? Hold on. We're going to hold it. We're experiencing. What line is he on? He is on. I'm sorry. Jim is on line 3. Let's try this now. Hey, Jim, you there?
I'm here.
Thank goodness. I thought a windstorm might have taken you away, but we're glad to have you. All kidding aside, you went through one of these things, huh? The microburst?
I did. I was on Lake Norman in a sailboat race, the Michelob Cup, in 1989 in May.
Uh-huh.
There were about 120 boats in the race.
Yeah.
We got hit by a microburst, and winds went up to about 85 miles an hour, if I remember correctly.
Mercy.
and we shredded our head sail, and I was a crew member on board. We had a number of boats capsized. Some boats got blown up on the beach, and we had two guys die.
Wow.
On board. Two sailors die. Mm. And I was on the bow of the boat bringing down our shredded head sail, and the rain was so heavy, and the bow was underwater half the time. By the time I got the sail down, I came back, and there was one of the guys back in the cockpit, and he had a lens missing out of his sunglasses. And I said, "What happened?" He says, "Well, the hail." And I said, "Did we have hail? I had been underwater so long, I missed a hailstorm."
Mercy. Now, so you said this was 1989, right, Jim?
Right, May 89.
What, was there any prediction when you were checking the forecast? Because, hey, you guys are sailors. Yes, it was a competition on Lake Norman. But do you recall anything in the forecast about this kind of storm?
We had no idea. We didn't even know what it was until later when a weatherman finally told us that there was a microburst on Lake Norman. And it was 85-mile-an-hour winds, and it came down, straight column down, and blew 6-foot waves 6 feet apart, all in a circle, all the way around across the lake.
Man.
I've been sailing for 50-some years, and I've never seen anything like that.
And, of course, instead of a race, instead of the regatta, it became basically, let's stay alive. I mean, how long were you guys in the water during the severe storm, complete with a microburst?
Well, the microburst lasted about 15 minutes. And after that calmed down, then we were basically on a rescue mission looking for the other sailors that were missing.
Wow.
There were people sitting on the completely capsized with their keels up in the air, sitting on the transom of their boats, or on the bottom of the boat. And it was the race got called.
Yeah, to say the least, I would think they suspended the competition because of what you're talking about. Well, I would imagine to be part of that crew on that kind of ship and to be in that competition, you're an experienced sailor. How long did it take you to get back in the water aboard a similar craft?
Oh, following week.
The next week.
I was raised on Lake Erie. And storms were...
Well, yeah. In fact, remember my broadcast history. This goes back to when I was in college, and Billboard magazine featured an article about WBT putting together a special on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was on a different lake, right? Yeah,
that was Lake Superior.
Yes, Lake Superior.
On a sister ship of the Edmund Fitzgerald for a summer.
Wow.
The SS Silver Bay, which was a coal burner.
Man, and back in the day, I think this is about the fourth time I've mentioned Professor Reardon at NC State teaching Meteorology 101. He said, here's what caused the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. He had the satellite footage, the old days of the black and white film. He said, see that right there? That's what did him in. And You develop a healthy respect for what the destructive power of nature and what can happen with the weather. Jim, I appreciate the call and your memories of not so great a day on Lake Norman, but you survived to tell us, and it reminds us that when storms are afoot, like they are today in the Carolinas, keep an ear on the radio as you go out for your activities. Our activities today, talking to you. More open phones ahead. It's J.D. Hayworth for Vince Coakley on the eponymously named Vince Coakley Radio Program. Past 11. What's happening with traffic? Nikki Whaley's here to tell us.
85 and 485 are conditioned green. Still a bit slow on 77 northbound between 485 exit 19 and Catawba Avenue exit 28. About a 5 to 10 minute delay. Crash at Central Avenue and North Sharon Imity. Crash at W.T. Harris Boulevard and Old Sugar Creek. Now, we still have Piper Road closed between Jones Loop and the airport. This is due to an accident involving a pedestrian. A crash at Anderson Street and North Davidson. A fender bender still working at South Boulevard and Archdale and Confederate Avenue between Henderson and Mocksville Avenue. You got a car that struck a power pole knocking down the power lines. They're working to get that moved out of the way. Showers and storms today with a high near 74. It's mostly cloudy, 69 degrees. I'm Nikki Whaley, WBT Traffic.
The Vatican recently lifted its ban on female visitors to St. Peter's who wear miniskirts, shorts, or see-through blouses. But there is one condition, Paul. What?
I must swear they're all Protestant.
Yes, the wit and wisdom of Paul Lind with Peter Marshall on the Hollywood Squares. You see, I just talk about these things, and our superb staff, boom, tracks it right down. It's Open Phones Friday on the Vince Coakley program. The recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth continuing my multi-step program to kind of get back in step. And the way we do that here is just talk to you on Friday about what's on your mind. Now, to take Paul Lynn's punchline, Protestant, of course, a variation of the term protest. And yesterday, well, this old recovering congressman got a little emotional about this teacher protest, this walkout that's going to happen on May 1st. And I still think this is horrible, especially with schools in North Carolina, a lot of county school districts taking spring break this week. Why not go down on free time, and that's exactly it. Why not go and teach when you're supposed to be teaching, for heaven's sake? And I think I got a little emotional. How do I know that? I quoted my old high school offensive line coach one day looking at film and so upset. He goes, "You dang linemen make me want to puke." And so we made him sick to his stomach, but he was able to stay there and chew us out despite all that. So the whole May Day walkout in North Carolina. Now, I chronicled yesterday for you, if you think this is something unique to North Carolina, forget about it. It happened last year in Arizona, and I'm sad to say some folks lacked intestinal fortitude, and it wasn't just a single day. The leftist grievance mongers, masquerading as educators, basically took over downtown Phoenix a couple of weeks at a time. And all this talk about students first and kids first was just so much hooey. So against that background, we welcome to the broadcast on Open Phones Friday from Lyman, South Carolina, on Line 6, Jim. Howdy, Jim.
Hey, J.D., thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
So first, yes, I'm in South Carolina. I do not have a horse in this show in North Carolina at all. But I've kind of got some mixed opinions, and I think you'll understand this.
Okay.
When I hear they're protesting, I'm thinking, you know what? Good for you. You are availing yourselves of your First Amendment privileges to petition a redress with your government. Boom. Great job. But you got to look at who is this going to hurt more? You know, as everybody said yesterday, you know, we're going to acknowledge the horse and the elephant, and I'm sorry, is that you don't get into teaching for money. You don't. There's a passion, there's a heart, there's a drive you have to be a teacher. I know when I was in school, X number of years ago, I'll say, but I know the first week in May, we were getting ready for final exams, state testing. One, you know, I say yes, that if you want to talk to your leaders, write letters, make calls, and have them go to bat for you. Walking out of a classroom just to make a point is not going to make the point that, hey, I'm truly in it for the kids. I'm here to teach your children.
Jim, I think you make a most eloquent point, and you typify what Open Phones Friday are all about. I want to thank you for checking in from Lyman there in the upstate.
Yeah, and if I can,
yes, sir.
There's one more comment I want to make.
An addendum, yes. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, and I think I do see part of the reason why the school said, you know what, we're just going to close, because they realize the number of teachers that said, hey, we're going to walk out, there is not enough substitute teachers in the state of North Carolina to cover like an entire school faculty walking.
But before here's the thing that gets me, and this is where I take issue with your otherwise overall brilliant analysis. I think it was no less a civil libertarian and broadcast journalist than Fred Friendly who said the right to do something doesn't make it right. In other words, exactly. With rights come responsibilities. And if we in fact believe that education is the most important thing for our youth, if we in fact believe that we should emphasize education, then why do, and teachers growing up as I did, and I know that that's more than a few years ago now, but teachers were treated with respect. They were part of a profession. Sad to say, in so many cases now, it is transmogrified, not for every teacher, but for a lot of folks, it has become a collection of grievance mongers who are happy to pull a stunt like this to abuse the First Amendment. The point I was making, Jim, was yesterday, the way Calvin Coolidge, Silent Cal, and Jim left us. I wanted to talk even more about it. Anyway, I'll make the point with you, and you can call and agree or disagree. I brought it up yesterday. Calvin Coolidge achieved national prominence when in the teens, this would be the 19 teens, back a century ago, when the city of Boston, the police decided to strike. And Calvin Coolidge says, you will not strike against the public safety. And he fired those folks. And in much the same way, President Reagan with the old Air Traffic Controllers Union, PATCO, ironically the only union or one of few unions endorsing then-candidate Reagan in 1980. In 1981, they said they were going to walk out. And President Reagan said, well, if you walk out, you're not coming back. And that's exactly what happened. And you see, if we really take education seriously, this notion that, hey, they're availing themselves of their First Amendment rights, well, good for them. No, if you're not willing to do it at a time that does not jeopardize the important resource and the act of teaching kids. And no, don't give me this malarkey about, hey, it's a chance to go on a field trip and watch the ultimate of democracy in action. First of all, it's not. It is exploitation of work time, and you're taken away from the job you claim you want to have. Oh, yeah, we have First Amendment rights. But you and I both know freedom of speech does not include a right to shout fire in a crowded theater when no fire exists. With rights come responsibilities, and it is sad. It is very, very sad that the once proud profession of teaching, now apparently a collection of grievance mongers and thugs who intimidate those on the line. Yeah, well, yeah, pal, you come with us and we'll teach you a real lesson. See Tom run. See thug threaten. It is so sad to see what has transpired. And no, I submit to you, this is not an action on First Amendment rights, petitioning the government for redress of grievance. If you want to do it, great. Do it on your own time. It's every bit as, and I've seen this, I'll give you a flip side from students. A certain high school in the upstate of South Carolina, a student group got together, and they decided, we'll take our budget and we'll award teachers. What they did was they pulled a scam to stay out of school all afternoon one day in May. I know what they were pulling. And they should have done it on their own time on a Saturday. Took time away from the classroom. More time with you coming up. Stay tuned. Baseball is back at BB&T Ballpark. Join WBT for Fireworks Fridays with the Charlotte Knights. The Knights take on Indianapolis at 7.04 p.m. Enjoy a special fireworks show after the game. Plus, the first 1,500 kids get their own Queen City replica jersey. Get all the details at WBT.com/events. The Vince Coakley radio program with very special guest host and modest guy, J.D. Hayworth, continues now on Open Phones Friday. I saw something, and this can prove the ability to multitask. I was here, you and I were talking about a multitude of subjects, as is our wont on Open Phones Friday, but I glanced up at CNN. And the anchors and anchorettes there had such a mournful expression on their faces. It was all uniform. They looked really upset. And the reason why, the headline at the bottom of the screen, you know where they put the headlines? It said, U.S. GDP grows by 3.2%. 3.2%. Now, for a lot of us, economics remains the dismal science. Well, really, it should be the decimal science, because a change of a decimal point or two means prosperity or pauperism. And the fact is, what I learned in, as a native North Carolinian who went out west and got elected to Congress, you know, again, like my friend Pat McCrory does on WBT, here's an educational moment. For better or worse in history, it will be listed that the first Arizonan to serve on the powerful Ways and Means Committee was J.D. Hayworth. Yeah. And that committee is really important. Let me tell you how important it is. I will not mention the name, but there was a guy who I think classified as a billionaire. He does not make his home in the Carolinas. I will not talk about from whence he came. However, I was at an event, in a re-election event for George W. Bush in 2004. And boy, I had to. I'll get into that topic. And just let me get to the point of the story. The guy comes up to me. He is a CEO of a mega million-dollar, if not a billion-dollar enterprise. And he looks at me and says, hey, J.D., why aren't you on any important committees? And I thought, you know, sometimes guys in the know will kind of gig you a little bit. You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, how's the weather up there? I thought it was one of those joshing opening lines to a conversation. And then I look and I saw the guy had the countenance of Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. He was stoic. He was non-emotional. He was not laughing. He was asking me a legitimate question. So without trying to sound like a know-it-all or growing overly pedantic, I said, well, let's stop and think about this for a second. I said, you have come up in a business that depends on advertising. And one of the reasons other businesses avail themselves of your service is because the tax code allows expensing and deductions for advertising. And you see, my committee controls the tax code. So when you think about it, the Ways and Means Committee is a really important committee. You went, oh, yeah. It was just, it's kind of interesting. Out west, there's a disconnect. I guess the weather is so nice, the golf courses are so nice, and the plane flights over to the coast are so, yeah, just quick, that some guys don't really understand it. And then some folks are just, politics means nothing to them. And I just want to say, if you feel the same way about economics, shame on you. Because it can make all the difference in the world. You have to understand this. If you remember nothing else of our time together today, just remember this basic economic fact. This came from the Nobel Prize-winning economist, the late, great Milton Friedman, who said it this way. If you want less of something, tax it. That's what happens. Conversely, and I believe it was Chief Justice John Marshall, very early in our history, wrote, the power to tax is the power to destroy. Well, let's take Chief Justice Marshall's words at face value. Isn't there a reverse theory? Keeping in mind what Milton Friedman said, the power to reduce taxes is the power to employ. And that is what we are seeing right now with this growth in the gross domestic product. Ain't nothing gross about it. It's good news. 3.2% in the first quarter. CNBC was moved to headline it this way. U.S. economy grows by 3.2% in the first quarter, topping expectations. You see, the folks at Dow Jones got together with economists who I guess they allowed to remain anonymous. And those economists, polled by Dow Jones, said they only thought the first quarter growth in 2019 would be around 2.5%. No, it's 3.2%. And what does that mean for you? Well, it means that there is more prosperity. There will be more job opportunities. There will be more opportunities if you are one who wants to go into business for yourself. Tax relief fires the engines of entrepreneurism and economic activity. Because while it's true, if you want less of something, you can tax it. And while there's a case to be made in terms of, well, sin taxes, look at what's happened with smoking, right? You pay a huge, even in North Carolina, back in the day when I was growing up in the South in the 60s and 70s, right up through the 80s, because I brought my pretty bride back here and was showing her North Carolina, and we walked into a certain supermarket back in the day. You know how supermarkets are laid out with the with whatever they really want to sell is in the center aisle. Back in the day, you could take your pick regardless of grocer, regardless of supermarket chain. You could walk down the center aisle in North Carolina, and you know what the universal, you know what was sold in the center aisle? Out in the open for everybody? Cigarettes. And I knew times were changing as the years continue to pass and every place becomes a smoke-free environment. And you now have cigarettes almost as if they're contraband, but one thing that cuts down on smoking is the heavy taxes applied to it. Now, let's not do that with beer. Well, we need to roll those down. What was that Ben Franklin said? Beer is God's way of making us happy. That was Frank. He also had another line about beer. One does not own beer. One merely rents it. Think about that as we head for the weekend. More of your calls coming up. 704-570-1110, 1-800-928-1110. It's J.D. for Vince on the Vince Coakley Program. And at 12 minutes in front of 12 noon, what's that traffic looking like for your lunch break? Here's Nikki Whaley.
Condition green on 85 and 485. Still a little bit slow up north in Huntersville, kind of near Statesville, 77 northbound between 485 exit 19 and Catawba Avenue exit 28. Again, about an 8 to 10 minute delay. Still have Piper Road closed between Jones Loop and the airport. A crash at the Plaza and Milton. Fender bender working at the intersection of Fairview and Sharon, and one at Anderson Street and North Davidson. See for yourself why so many people are choosing a Toyota from Scott Clark Toyota and enjoy a premier sales and service experience that we've offered for over 33 years. Shop ScottClarkToyota.com. That's ScottClarkToyota.com. Showers and storms today with a high near 74. It's mostly cloudy, 69 degrees. I'm Nikki Whaley, WBT Traffic.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT invites you to join us for an in-depth debate among the North Carolina District 9 Republican primary candidates. Tuesday, May 7th, 6 to 8 p.m., it'll be held at the Union County Agriculture and Events Center in Monroe. Bo Thompson, John Hancock, Vince Coakley, Mark Garrison, Joe Gillespie, and Brett Jensen will lead the discussion. We'll focus on the candidates, the issues that matter tonight to District 9 residents, North Carolina politics, and who's going to fill that congressional seat. Again, Tuesday, May 7th, 6 to 8 p.m., Union County Ag and Event Center in Monroe. For details, go to WBT.com/events. Yeah, just thought that would be a way to bring us back on a Friday. Open Phones Friday. The Vince Coakley program, recovering congressman and TV trivia freak, a true baby boomer, J.D. Hayworth here with you in the waning moments. And Brett Jensen was in here. I was explaining to him, if you're listening on WBT, there's a big debate coming up. They list all these guys, and the final name was Brett Jensen. And Brett Jensen, I was explaining to him that next to the star of the show, having that billing means you're the second top billed person. Because on the Dick Van Dyke Show, remember, they list everybody. And then, and Mary Tyler Moore. So, you see, Mary had that big part of the program. Now, there are words to the theme from the Dick Van Dyke Show. They were written, little known facts. See, I try to teach you some things. When we get together, I try to teach you some things about what goes on. And the little known fact is that Maury Amsterdam, who wrote the lyrics to the Andrews Sisters' huge hit, Rum and Coca-Cola, also penned the lyrics to the Dick Van Dyke theme. And we will get to that. We will get to that. But first, in the spirit of Open Phone Friday, whatever you want to talk about, including stuff that ain't so pleasant like the weather could get this afternoon, from Monroe, Dennis is on the line. Dennis, you've got the story about the threat of microbursts, correct?
Yes. Hey, J.D.
Hey.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, U.S. Air, and I'm a recovering airline employee.
Gotcha.
A DC-9 back in July 2nd, 1994, encountered on landing. They were ready to land. They hit a microburst-induced wind shear, is what they described it as. And they were only coming 15, 20-minute flight from Columbia, South Carolina to Charlotte.
Mm.
And there were 20 survivors, as I remember, and 37 fatalities.
Mm.
And it was, my wife and I lived about 5 to 7 miles from there. And when we heard it on the news, it's like, what in the world are they talking about? Because it was sunny and beautiful.
Wow.
Blue skies at our house.
Yeah, at your house, things were fine. And at the airport, things were not fine.
It was, like you described earlier, yep. A quick microburst. Yes, sir.
Mercy. Dennis, we thank you for remembering history, and this proves that this is Open Phones, where we talk about everything, including stuff that ain't exactly kind of a Friday state of mind. But it underscores there are severe storm threats, and while the threat may have moved to the north and the east of Charlotte and the upstate of South Carolina, keep an eye out and keep an ear to the radio. And now keep your ear to the radio, because a recovering congressman, without musical accompaniment, because I don't think I can get there. I don't think I can do it with the music without rehearsal. I'm not like Donald O'Connor. I shall do it a cappella. I shall do it a cappella. The theme to the Dick Van Dyke Show. Lyrics by Maury Amsterdam.
3, 2, 1.
So you think that you've got trouble. Well, trouble's a bubble. So go tell Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying, start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. Cause a smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. Smiling that frown will get lost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. Cause a smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. Smiling that frown will get lost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. Ba-da-ba-da-da-da. Womp, bomp. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Again, broadcast history made on the Vince Coakley radio program today. And just one of the little interesting things from television trivia that I thought I could share with you today. No animals were harmed in the a cappella singing of that song, unless, but individual results may vary at your house. That's all I've got to say about that. Our buddy Vince, we hope he's back in the saddle on Monday. Again, say a prayer for his dad and for my dad. They're both having some health issues. El Rushbo and Open Phone Friday is next on both of these same stations. Till we meet again, J.D. Hayworth saying, stay brave, stay free, stay tuned.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.